Bye-bye, Lewis.
What time of clock is it? You want to start? I'll start. I'm ready to start when you are. Wir machen das bis jetzt. Begin, yes? All right. Good evening, gentlemen. Everybody is familiar in one form or another with the famous Levush in Aruch Chaim Siman Resh Pei Dalet, where the Levush explains the origins of our practice of reading Haftorah after the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos morning. The Levush writes that there was a time, there was a tekufa, when the Goyim, under whose authority we found ourselves, banned the Kriyas HaTorah in shul. In fact, it was part of their general attack on Talmud Torah. I'm going to explain this in a little bit more detail in a minute. And therefore, it was instituted, instead of laning Kriyas HaTorah from the Sefer Torah, that they would lane something from the Novi on Shabbos morning. The Lashon of the Levush, however, leaves a number of questions open, but the point of the story, however, is that they used to make brachas on it. It would seem the original practice, according to the Levush, was that they had seven people, each of whom read three psukim from the Novi, or lain three psukim from the Novi in any event, and once the gezeirah was bottled, they decided that keeping on the Haftorah was a good idea, and they continued to do it. So far, so good. This leaves open quite a number of questions. I'll just mention a few of them. Well, the question which I'm interested in this evening, which I'm going to come back to soon, is where did they get this idea from? Well, the idea is, I think we'll all agree, it's a beautiful and brilliant idea. Where did they get the idea from? Second of all, how did that get round the ban on public Talmud Torah? Thirdly, when exactly did this happen? And why the Nevi'im? Now, in fact, I'm not by any means the first one to ask these questions, but I think they're worth spending a few minutes on nonetheless. If you look at the Tiferes Yisrael in the third Perek of Megillah, he provides a little bit more detail, not a lot more detail, a little bit more detail. He said that the time was, he quotes a Sefer Tishbi, which I'm not quite sure what it is, but in any case, he quotes a Sefer Tishbi, that this all happened in the time of the infamous Antiochus, who of course we know from the Hanukkah story, who banned reading from the banned public Kriyas HaTorah, and because there was a ban on public Kriyas HaTorah, and the rest that he writes there, if you have a look, is more or less the same, and this is obviously where he got it from, apart from that one detail, is more or less the same as the Levush. The Ri al-Ghazi says something very, very interesting here. He says, indeed, it was banned. So what they did was, they got children to come up, and each of them said three psukim. They had seven children who came up who said three psukim. The seven children, three psukim, of course, because on Shabbos morning you have to lay Medina de Mishnah to seven people, and moreover, there's no kriya less than three psukim ever. That's a takana, very, very ancient takana, goes back to time of Ezra, but in any case, therefore you get seven times 3, 21 psukim, which is the normal standard minimum for a haftorah. There are exceptions which we all know about, and that is how it came into existence. And now you can understand straight away, if a crowd of children would stand up in shul and each one say 3 psukim and sit down again, obviously the enemies would not see that as a public act of Talmud Torah with all the ceremony and paraphernalia that goes together with a public Kriyas HaTorah like that we're used to on Shabbos. The Levush asks the question as to how come it was from the Nevi'im and not from the Ksuvim. And it's been suggested, he says quite simply, that he does not think that reading from the Nevi'im was banned and reading from the Ksuvim was banned. If the Levush says it, he must have a reason why he says it. I'm not able to explain that. And so I'm not able to explain that. I'm going to move on very quickly. But in any case, that's what he writes. And this then gives rise, of course, to the question, which I've got to touch on very briefly, which is, what does the word Haftarah actually mean? So the Levush, and so the Avudram in the first place, and the Levush say that the word Haftarah, of course, comes from the word potter, that they were potter from Kriyas HaTorah, at least by the Evid, by reading out the Haftarah. How far in Halacha they're actually potter from laying in Kriyas HaTorah, because you laid from the Novi, is a different question entirely. But what you now get is that the pattern of the laying of the Haftarah follows on some level the pattern of the Kriyas HaTorah in Shul, and of course it's got some dinim. You're supposed to listen very carefully, although interestingly, they say b'shem that the normal explanation of the word Haftarah, which you'll see in a number of the Gedolei HaMefarshim, and so the Avudram and the Levush mention it, namely that you thereby become potter from Kriyas HaTorah. Then there's one of the Gedolei HaPoskim who says that the Rial Ghazi says that it's because you finished with Tfilas Shacharis, with the reading of the Novi, you finished with the Chiyuvim of Tfilas Shacharis on Shabbos. The Rabbeinu Tam, interestingly, says, they say, whether the Rabbeinu Tam said this, I don't know, but it's said, b'shem the Rabbeinu Tam, that the word Haftarah, again from Loshon Potter, that there's a serious ban on talking during Kriyas HaTorah. Afilu b'divrei Torah, it's not quite so serious to talk b'divrei Torah b'shas Haftarah. Having said this, I must cover myself by pointing out that if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he says exactly the opposite of this, that you're not allowed to talk during Kriyas HaTorah at all, and you're not allowed to talk during Kriyas HaNovi at all, and you've got to pay attention to the Novi, and you've got to try and understand what it means, and so on and so forth. So what we have, therefore, is, and that takes us on to very, very simple idea, very simple idea indeed. That is, of course, that the Kriya of the Novi is in place of and represents originally the Kriya that was missed from the Sefer Torah, and therefore it's got to reflect. And in the nice Chumashim, they even print across the top of that Torah, usually quoting the Levush, by the way, how exactly it reflects, and indeed, how many drushas have we all heard about how the Haftarah does relate to a particular point or aspect or reference within the Kriyas HaTorah of the week. So far, so good. Now, one thing is clear from all of this, and this is really where my remarks this evening start. One thing is clear from all of this. Whatever we've said in the last moments, one thing is clear. That the Haftarah as we know it is of a fairly late date. If you say it comes from the time of Antiochus, that's a very late date. If you say it comes from some earlier persecution, it anyway comes from the times of our Golos. It's a Golos thing that was instituted because of persecution. Simple, straightforward. Now, there's a problem with this, and the problem with this is, before we come on to anything else fancy or complicated, the problem with this is a She'iltas. The She'iltas is in two places. There are one or two challenging aspects. I've got the She'iltas in front of me. One or two challenging aspects of this. The She'iltas is in Parshas V'Yishlach, which is, it's called Drosha L'Chanuk. As far as I can see, there are at least two Droshas L'Chanuk in the She'iltas there. And it comes again, came up with the same Loshen at the beginning of Parshat Tzovim. But in any case, the She'iltas, I'm going to read you the She'iltas. I haven't written, I've got the book in front of me. The She'iltas says, D'mechayiv in the basis soil. This is to tell you that Beis Yisrael, we have a chiyuv lemikra b'sifro, to read from the Sefer Torah. Ula'agmurei be'oraisa. La'agmurei be'oraisa means quite literally, and to complete the Torah. What does it mean? If you've just read from the Sefer Torah, what does la'agmurei be'oraisa mean? But it gets more difficult still. Ula'avtore b'nava, and also to read Haftarah from the Nave. Yoma b'inyane, each day with its inyan. And he then spells out what he means. You'll be familiar with this, by the way, from the end of Maseches Megillah. He says, Hilchas Pesach ba Pesach, Hilchas Atzeres ba Atzeres, Hilchas Chag ba Chag, Dichsiv ba Yidava Marjus ba Ad Hashem ba Bnei Yisrael, U Mitzvah, additionally, Shukawin kol Echot ve Echot Bizmano, Ulemedr Shnabi Binyana de Yoma. In other words, there is an ancient takana It does not mean it's a deraisa. There's an ancient takana on the special occasions of the Jewish year, what we call the Moadim, to lay from the Sefer Torah, ulag murei beraisa, that the tziv on the place is placed. Lag murei beraisa means to do the targum. Ulav torei benavi. Well, that raises huge difficulties, because of course there weren't any Nevi'im yet. The first Navi after the Torah was written is Yoshua. Yoshua was not writing his book at the time that was being described here, when the Torah teaches so the Tziv explains, no, the purpose of this din is that we should understand the importance of each of the special days in the Jewish calendar, the Mayadim, that they should be understood and appreciated, and part of the basic understanding and appreciation of those days is you lay from the Sefer Torah, people know what Yom Tov is about. And then the basic drasha of that Yom Tov, the basic shalom adoshin of that Yom Tov, is to read from the Navi, who tells you something of what the Yom Tov is about. Now, if that is so, various things start to be very worrying. First of all, this takona of which I'm speaking now is clearly very, very ancient. It goes right back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it says, right? So it goes back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Quite clearly, the Haftorahs that we were talking about a couple of moments ago are of a much, much later vintage. So if you look, I'm just going to make a very simple point now, but I'm going to add to it. If you look in the Tar, in Siman Tov Tov Chof Ches in Arachayim, after he talks about the calendar, he comes on to this, and he writes this. I've got the words, if I remember correctly, are Mibreishis Ad Shivosa Batamos Maftirin Me Inyan HaParsha Daume Badaume. From Parshas Breishis right through to the week before Shavuos of the Tavos, before the Dry Vulcan, then the Haftorah is me inyan ha-parsha. It reflects the parsha. Dome b'dome, it's lotsh natur. One thing similar to another. Umisham ve'elech, but from Shavuos of the Tavos onwards, that means from Shavuos of the Tavos until Simchas Torah, yet lefi hazman ulefi hama'oa. Talsa the Paranusa, as everybody knows, there are three Shabbosas, three Haftorahs of Parodius, Vesheva Benechamosa, there's Zion de Nechinta, which everybody knows about, Vetat Betuvah, and there's also two Haftorahs that deal with Tshuva, and of course, on top and beyond this, you've got the ones which we started this discussion, which is of course the Yontav Dek Haftorahs. So what we've got now is two Dinim in a Haftorah. There's a Haftorah that goes back to the Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, that we've got to lay something on the special occasions of the year. And those Haftorahs mark the day. And then you've got a different kind of Haftorah, which I'd like to suggest. This is where at the time of the Greek persecution they got it from. They said, let's adapt that ancient institution of laying from the Navi on Yom Tov. Let's adapt it and make it reflect the Parshas HaShavua, which has been abrogated due to pressure from outside. Now, if we say that, we then find something very, very interesting. That the two kinds of Haftorahs differ not in their dinim, but in their content. They differ in the following way. The Haftorahs of Ka'ein, what's the Lashon of the Torah again? The Haftorahs of Ka'ein, I'm just finding the Lashon again. Ka'ein, I did write it down, it was here a minute ago. Yeah, Ka'ein, ha Zman, Lefiyah Zman, Lefiyah Ma'ira, that was the Lashon. Lefiyah Zman, Lefiyah Ma'ira reflect the day. They don't reflect directly the parsha that's just been read. Whereas the ones which are doma b'doma of the Shabbosticker ones, they have to reflect the parsha. And this produces a fascinating difference, which I'm sure you've all noticed. And the difference goes like this. The different parshios of the Chumash have a Haftorah which is only read once in the year. Except if they're also read on the basis of the other takona. There are two takonas running here. The first takona is the first chronologically, is the one of Me'ein HaZman and Me'ein HaMa'ira. And there you can have same parashios with different haftaras. The best example of this is what in my part of the world was called Matnas Yad, that the laning on Shmini Atzeres, Achron Shel Pesach, and Second Shavuos is the same laning, it's Parshas Re'eh, right? But the Haftarah speaks about the Yontif. It doesn't speak about the laning directly at all. Admittedly, according to Tosfos Lechatchila, it should also reflect the laning. But the main din of Me'ein HaZman and Me'ein HaMa'ira is the Haftarah reflects the day, not the laning. Masha Enke, when it's Doma B'Doma to the Parsha, then it's got to reflect directly the lady. And if it doesn't reflect the lady, you haven't done what's required. Because that's how it came into existence. To remind everybody, actually, gentlemen, this week we ought to be laning so and so, but unfortunately the Greeks have banned it. So you've now got two different dinim as to the content of the Haftorah altogether. If I'm right about this, we can now explain something which perhaps has puzzled people. Certainly, I must confess to you, it certainly puzzled me for a long time. There are at least two occasions in the year when the Haftorah in no way reflects the laning, namely Shabbos HaGadol, which can come on a variety of parshios, and according to our minhag anyway, we always lane the end of Sefer Malachi on Shabbos HaGadol. But there's another one which even occurs more frequently, and that's Bochor Chodesh. Now, before I say what I have to say about this, I'm going to cover myself in case people get upset. In the case of Shabbos HaGadol, you are aware that there are two minhagim concerning the end of Malachi. There are kehillas where Sefer Malachi is only ever read when Shabbos HaGadol falls on Erev Pesach. In other words, Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos. And that's the only time they lay the Arva, and the rest of the time they lay the ordinary after of the week. In which case, of course, that is a special occasion, and then it will indeed fall clearly, without any further discussion, into the Takana of Me'ein HaZman Me'ein HaMa'ira, as I tried to explain. But even according to what we said earlier, it works, because we've got a Takana of Haftorahs. This is a takon of Haftorahs, Me'ein HaZman and Me'ein HaMa'ira, which means it doesn't really matter too much which parsha of the year Shabbos HaGadol happens to fall out. There's quite a variety, actually, it can fall out on. Doesn't make any difference. The Haftorah of that day is a takona of the earlier category, Me'ein HaZman and Me'ein HaMa'ira, and that works nicely. Much the same comment can be made about Haftorahs Bochor Chodesh. Mocha Chodesh is Me'ikar Adin Me'ein HaZman Me'ein HaMa'ira. Granted, if you look, we're Baruch Hashem, we're Zohar to live in England. If you look in the Beis Yosef of an art, you will see he quotes the Eitz Chaim Milondra, one of the Rishonim who lived in this country, who says that the Haftorah of Mocha Chodesh is only said when Rosh Chodesh is 2 days, Shabbos and Sunday. And then instead of the last perek of Sefer Yeshayah, they read Haftorahs Bochor Chodesh. But that's absolutely not our minhag. I'm not aware of any kehillah that does that. Our minhag is that whenever Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Sunday, we read Haftorah the Shabbos morning with the Mevorach and HaChodesh, we read Bochor Chodesh. So again, it's the same concept. This is not in any way a reflection of the Sedra. It isn't intended to be. This is Me'ein HaZman and Me'ein HaMa'ira. With this, we can also explain, I'll keep it short because time is running out. We can also explain, there's a tshuva in the Noda B'Yehuda about what happens if Parshas Shkolim comes out on Rosh Chodesh, which it can do, right? Or rather, Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, which is Parshas Shkolim, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So he's got what happens if the people in the shul messed up and they read from the Rosh Chodesh Dikah Sefer Torah 3rd? Yeah? So there's a children need to be heard about that, about what to do. On this, there is, you know, the standard book, the standard Sefer on Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah is a Sefer called Shaar Ephraim. Underneath the Shaar Ephraim is the real Fleischiker stuff, which is also from him, by the way, which is called Pisgah Shorim. There's a Pisgah Shorim that talks about what happens when Rosh Chodesh
Nissan, that's it. When Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes out on Shabbos, when Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes out on Shabbos again, it's one of the days of the year when you can have three Sifrei Torahs. And what happens then if you get mixed up as to whether you should read in order to keep the Chumrah of being Me'ein the Parsha. So if you now read the Rosh Chodesh Dikur Leinen from Parshas Pinchas last, where you should read the ordinary Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or the one for Parshas Achodesh. And in both cases he argues, both sides of the argument are, that both Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh Nissan are merumas in both of the two Haftorahs. Asher Alkei, what does that show you? We're not interested in whether it reflects over Rosh Chodesh. We're not worried about that. What we're worried about is that it should be Mein Azman Mein Amora. Asher Alkei, what we've actually got here is two separate, perhaps overlapping takonas, and I would like to suggest, that's my chiddush for tonight, that the takona of the weekly haftorahs that came, according to the Tveres Tzoron anyhow, Mizman Antiochus, that was built up on the original takona of Mein Azman Amein Amayir Ashkoyach.